All right, so now what we're turning to is what I have here, right? The Geder Isra Hanah and its relationship to the Isra Achila, and basically we're going to be dealing now with two main questions. One is, just what exactly does the Nehenah violate? What exactly is the Isra of Hanah? And number two, although I don't know how much we'll get to this one today, but if one violates the lav of Achila, if it's part of the same lav, part of the same Isra as Achila, so how is it that we understand that? How are we to understand the lav? Turning to the first one, in terms of the first question, again, the question being, basically, just what is it what exactly does he violate? What's the tzivui that he violates? So here, there are several possibilities, a priori, that we can consider. Number one, possibly, perhaps he violates that law which prohibits achila. The law of lo yochel, lo yochel, whatever we're talking about, in the context of chametz in particular, we would be speaking about presumably lo yochel, depending on how you understand the three surahs that are mentioned. So that's one possibility. Alternatively, another possibility, let's say the second one, is that it's something else, that it's perhaps its own independent law. Right? So there's an iser, it's its own independent law. Of course, we want to look what's the makor of that independent law. Or number three, perhaps it's an iser whose prohibition isn't actually expressed in the Torah. This is what Rishonim and the Gemara itself sometimes calls isur ba'ama, in the sense of something which is iser, but which is usser, there's a prohibited activity, but the formulation that prohibits it is not actually in the pasuk anywhere, it's not anywhere explicit. You don't have a tzibu in the pasuk. This concept, you find the Gemara, I give you guys some course about it, right? You find the Gemara Makos Yed Zayin Amud Aleph discussing the halacha, the din of Ein Mazhirin Min Adin, right? Which the Gemara says that even if you hold, the Gemara says that, didn't we actually have the Gemara Makos? No, right? The Gemara says that Ein Mazhirin Min Adin, which means relating to the Klal of Gabi Makos, that which is actually Makor to Tosef, which I later on give you guys in the Koros, Satan of Odozara, that Ein Ochen Elkein Mazirin, you can only get Makos for an Isser, for which the Torah stipulates in Azhara, right, expresses a prohibition in the Torah, as a prohibition. So in that context, the Gemara says that in terms of the quality of the Azhara, Ein Mazhirin Min Adin doesn't count if there's an Isser, which Torah, if there's a prohibition which we derive by way of a Kal V'Chomer. Okay, so in that context, the Gemara says that Ein Mazhirin Min Adin, right? We do not, right, the Azhara, right? We don't provide an Azhara, we don't get a prohibition for the purposes of Malkus, and that's the major point here. But the Gemara does clarify that what this means is that there's no makos for such an avera. However, there is such a thing as an iser whose azhara is derived by kal v'chomer, meaning whose iser is provided by a kal v'chomer. So in that context, what is it that you're violating? You can't really point to words in the Torah. It's a kal v'chomer. It's a derivation that isn't good enough because of that. It's not good enough to get makos for. There's a chisaron ultimately in that case in Ein Ochen Elkein Mazhirin, and here there's no azhara in the Torah, but it does indeed create an iser. There is an iser of whatever it is that's derived by Kal V'Chomer, even though there's no pasuk which you can point to as the source of that iser, whereas the tzivui that you violate. That's the concept that the Gemara says gives one example of in Makos. And there we're talking about something derived by Kal V'Chomer. But more broadly speaking, we find that this notion is something which others, which has much application elsewhere. Essentially, regarding any type of drasha of the Chachamim, or any type of either the Yigomim, this Shenet Torah Nedreshben, or Ribuyim, this is always on the table as something which is a possibility, where what we understand is not that that there's an Isser Daraisa, but it's not something which is Mefurash Bekra. The prohibition itself is not specified and stated and formulated in the Torah. And I gave you as an example, one, according to some Rishonim, this is a classic example. In Yoma, The Gemara discusses the Isser of Chatzashir. Right? So the Gemara quotes it's a diuk from, I mentioned there, by the way, that the Makar, original Makar, is from the Bryce and the Sifra, Preskanim. Right? But the Gemara says you have a drush of Kol, the Rabbos Chatzashir. You also have the Svar of Chatzit Srufe, and there are many, as I've said to you guys in the context of just the Seder, that there are many, many basic questions regarding the Sugya of Chatzashir and many interrelated questions. But one of those questions is, what exactly do you violate when you eat the Chatzashir? There are certainly some who understand that you violate the Isser Achila. Right, that Lav of Achila applies even for Chatzashir. You just don't get malchus, one way or the other. Whether or not, however it is that you come to that, because there are different ways to come to it. But the point is that ultimately what you violate is that Isser. Alternatively, some Rishonim held that it is, you do not violate that Isser. That Isser is an Isser specifically Achila, and as accords well with the Gemara in Yoma, some Rishonim understand that Achila, I mean, it's basically what the Gemara in Yoma says, right? Achila, that Achila by definition requires a kizayis. Pachus Mikashir has no shem Achila, so it doesn't violate the lav of Achila, but rather there's a separate Isser, where we derive that there is the existence of the separate Isser. What is it that you violate? There's no source for it. There's no makor for it in the Torah, right? But there's an Isser. This is something which Tosfos expounds upon and actually applies in a very fascinating way in the context of Mishra B'Yavid. Yeah.
Can you learn how Chatzashir from Chayla? So
kol, from the word, from Medea, from the word kol.
And could we say that it's like Chatzashir is like when I use Chatzashir, I'm over the Isser Chayla? Like
so I said, there are some Rishonim most clearly that appears in Achronim. Explicitly, the classic formulation of that is the commentary of the Aureli Abzarach and Smach, who explicates that precisely. He actually goes the most extreme. He basically thinks even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that it is achila. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees fundamentally with Reish Lakish. He thinks that right, Reish Lakish says achila v'leika. Rabbi Yochanan.
Sorry to disturb, but I come with gifts.
So the Reish Mizrahi says that Reish Lakish fundamentally disagrees. I'm sorry, Reish Lakish fundamentally disagrees with Reish Lakish. Again, Reish Lakish says achila. The reason why does Reish Lakish think that there's no Isser because achila who you know v'leika. The pasuk says achila v'leika. So is it? This is one of the major questions. Is the Reish Lakish most assume that Reish Lakish agrees with that, at least initially, that achila requires a kizayis, but nonetheless thinks that there's an Isser, mishum pasuk, mishum svara, one way or the other. The Re'aim, though, does not. The Re'aim, in his commentary on the Smag, claims that Reish Lakish fundamentally disagrees with Reish Lakish and thinks that achila isn't kizayis. The achila is not limited to kizayis. Kizayis is simply a shirin for the requirement for onish. How much achila do you need? There's a halacha of Sinai. How much achila do you need in order to get to be on the level of a punishment? That you need kizayis for, but achila exists even pachas mikashir. That we know is reinforced, if you will, by either the svar of chazal tufe or the pasuk or some combination thereof. That's one approach, but I think probably in Rishonim at least, I think much more prevalent approach is that Rabbi Yochanan agrees that achila pachas mikashir does not exist at least initially. Question is, what about not initially? What about once we either see from the pasuk or the svar or some combination thereof, right, that there is an Isser Chatzashir, what then? So it's possible to say, well, at that point we see that even though initially we thought that this is not true, we do in the end consider it to be an act of achila, despite the fact that we wouldn't have initially thought so. That's one possibility. The other possibility, though, and this is what you find in Tosfos, is it's not achila b'fa. So therefore it doesn't fit, and you do not violate the law of achila. We're medayik from kol that there exists an Isser, but it is not the Isser that the pasuk, the word of kol, is found in. You right? It's not that you violate the law of achila. Now, what do you violate? Well, it's hard to say you violate kol. It's not an Isser. So this is where the Tosfos comes in and explains, others as well, that this is an example like that in Matzir Minadin. This is similar. situation, not meaning kav chomer, just as a base on a diak or a ribui. But the ultimate makor for the isser is, I mean, what sivoy do I violate? We know it's usher from kol, but what is the sivoy that you violate? That is not in the psukim anywhere. The Tosos, as I say, go on to apply this quite interestingly and strikingly, that this is their explanation, one explanation they have for the Gemara, which says that a person who's nishban pachas mikashir, not eat pachas mikashir, so he's considered to be a hatera nishban, is therefore chal, normally, as a normal shvus vitoy. So Tosos is bothered by the question of Rabbi Yochanan, paskin that chatashir is asher min Torah, so how could that be? It's not mutter. And the answer is that inasmuch as, let me have the lashon and bring it. The answer that Tosus there say, and they actually say it several times in those dafim, this is probably the clearest explication of this point. What they say is that that inasmuch as it's neither a lav, there's no lav that you violate, there's no isser in the Torah that you violate, nor is it an aseh, you don't violate any isser aseh, but rather it's isur ba'ama. So inasmuch as that's the case, it's not considering Mushba Viome Marcina. Now that is a very significant point to be looked at and considered. You have to consider both what is required for Mushba Viome Marcina and what exactly we're saying in the context of a limud from the Chachamim like this. And that's a fascinating topic, not for now. Hopefully at some point we'll get to talk about those sort of issues. Those are kind of a Rambam Shorosh test. I'm sorry, Shorosh Beis type issue. In the Sefer Mitzvos, because of the status, the Deoraisa status of Limudim, and I was mentioned now is the possibility to distinguish between something whether or not it's considered to have the authority of Deoraisa and whether or not it's specifically explicated in Sinai. Maybe those are different. That explains a lot. Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically command this thing, or was it something that we understood in the end to be implicit but not necessarily specifically formulated? It's a general question that could have a lot to do with what you find in this context, but I'm not going to speak about it now. Either way, the point is to see from Tosos, that Tosos views this as another example where you have an Isser min HaTorah, but without a Pasuk in the Torah. There's no Tzivoy in the Torah that you violate. And if you... I also have the Prima Gadim. If you take Tokog, I gave you guys a Mar Malkum. Prima Gadim speaks about this this level, right? With Prima Gadim in the Psicha Kolelis, Naktama, Parachayim, his first Chelek deals with the Madregos Malos Sheyesh Mitzvos Hasei, Velos Hasei, and I don't remember what number, I think it's the Shlishi, right? Is this level of Mitzvos and Isurim Deoraisa that do not have Makoros in the Pasuk? He speaks about it there, he speaks about it a little bit earlier in terms of Nafkaminas. Question one, what do you do for Safek? That's a general issue. Either way, the existence of this category, I think, is clear. And then that's possibly what you have, you might say, in the case of Hana. I mean, we know that there's an Isser, right? But in terms of what exactly you violate, so it actually doesn't have a source in the Psukim, it's just in Isur Ba'am. That's also a possibility. Now here before we actually look at what we find, we ought to consider the relation between this question, right, which is what's the makor, what's the tzivah that you actually violate, and the one we just finished discussing regarding the limudim of Chizki and Rabbi Abo, the question we discussed there, namely whether the what they're doing, Chizki and Rabbi Abo, is a interpretation, a semantic interpretation, and a perish of the milum, a perish halashon, that the term achila or the term yachel means, or at least includes, hana, or is it that they're being medai gedin, right? They're deriving that there is an iser hana, but not that they're reinterpreting. They're not saying the word, the shoresh, achal, or the word in its uses, ye'achel, means hana. It's just that we know that hana too is prohibited when the Torah forbids be'achila, it doesn't likewise license hana. So here I think that in general it makes sense to say as follows, that if we adopt the understanding that what they're doing is a semantic interpretation of the words, the perish lashon, so then I think you have one of two options. Most likely you'll say, what? What do you guys think? if it's a perish halasha, what Chizki or Yibo is saying is that the word means
either a chil means hana or hana includes a chil.
But I'm saying, but if you say that what they're doing in terms of how they get hana is that they think the word actually either includes or specifically, right, one or the other, but you know, it's an interpretation of the word actually can mean hana. So if that's true in terms of the what would you say? Yeah. So I think you're kind of, so one possibility is to say, then we'll say that the hana violates the same law. The same is as close to say, therefore it's achila. After all, it doesn't mean specifically achila, it means hana. Or achila hana, we'll get to that. The alternative, the other option, is that they'll say it's an independent law, but from the same azhara, from the same azhara. Now let me just.
It's like a law of the follows?
So exactly that kind of model, yeah. But first, let me just use the. I want to introduce terminology. The Rambam in Shorash Tess, let's just use his terminology. The Rambam in Shorash Tess, which he comments upon as being like the best of the Shorashim, it is a crucial one, and a very helpful one. Notes that he distinguishes between what he calls lavim v'aseis mitzvos, los asei and asei, and, or let me say differently. You know, he actually has that lashon, which I actually think is, yeah. That's the lashon, right? He actually one time uses that phrase, lavim v'aseis, to mean something which I think I prefer to use it for the other one. He distinguishes between sivuyei ha-Torah v'asarotel, and the dvarim shemuzharim behem and amtsuvim behem. And what he means by this is, right, that what he's, and his basic point is, that in roi limnos, ultimately he uses these terms which I don't like here, halavim ba'asei, but dvarim hamuyuch, hamuzharim behem and amtsuvim behem, but then he explains, that's called tzivuyei ha-Torah ba'azor terah, heim ba'arba dvarim, meaning the things that are being prohibited, the prohibitions, And when the Torah prohibits something, when the Torah formulates a command, so it could be of any of the, he says the following things, it could be a daya, a pu'ula, or a mida, or a dibur. You have to look at the translation in the other translations for this. But the basic point is that you have the commanded thing, the prohibited thing, and then you have the language which expresses the prohibition. Okay? So that, in his terminology, he says the azhara versus the davar shemuzar mehem, or the Davar Shemuzar Mimenu. And his point here is that, and this is what he makes clear, right, that what we're counting is not the Azharos, but the Davar Shemuzar Mimenu. And basically, he explains, if the Torah says 14 times, and even in 14 different ways, don't eat dam, even if it's using different words, it's one mitzvah. There's one iser of dam, just repeated 14 times, maybe even formulated different ways, even though there's 14 Azharos, there's only one mitzvah, there's only one iser. Or what I would say, lav, is one, and that's, you know, defined by the davar shemuzar mehem. Meaning one thing that's being prohibited, and that's how it should be counted in mitzvos. Okay, so using just that formulation, that term, so it is possible that you'll say that there's two mitzvos here, but one azhar, and then it's all right. And the point is, and here you have exactly the correct model, I believe. The possibility, which we'll come back to, is that you have something like a lashon klal, which we'll just come back to. There are two mitzvahs. If I want to, let's leave it here. We'll see. When I get to the Urayim, I'll explicate this a little more. But that's correct, that the model to look at is lashon klal, something I didn't mean. So that's another possibility. So those are two possibilities. If you take the interpretation that what he's doing is perish hamila, either will then say he violates the single iser, they both violate, the okal and nana are both violating the same iser, the same single los asay, or we have two different isurim, two different lavin, albeit the same azhar. If we take a non-semantic interpretation here, so then I think one possibility certainly is to say that, so you're, what we're saying is, we're not saying that achila means anything but achila. We're deriving the existence of a prohibition. But you don't violate the law of achila. The law of achila is for achila. You don't violate that law. Rather, we just know there's a prohibition, we figure out where that prohibition is from, but it's not the law of achila. Nor is it its own independent law based on the same azhara. However, I think it is possible that you do. And this is contra the Ma'adir, and that you can still violate, you can still understand it as violating the law, the original law. Meaning you can interpret, it's not that he's Chizki or Ribo is saying the word here means anything but achila. It means achilo, and nonetheless, still, and you know, and you're deriving a din that there's an iser. I think it is possible still to say, but the iser that you violate for binana is the lava of achilo. And I'll get to this. We'll see. I think it's a very prominent region who I think is clearly assuming this. But just to note that this is contra the Mahadir in the footnote in the Mosad Hav Kook, when the Ran, who discusses this question explicitly, says he connects it, which I have no problem, that's what we're doing. We're discussing the relationship between them, the Mahadir and the Ran. But he views this as being something mukhrah. That you could, if you think that there's no interpretation of, this is not a reinterpretation of the word, but a diuk of a din, it cannot be that then that you violate that iser. And this is what he says in footnote 65, right? Ron says, right, Ron is dismissing the question of the Tosos, according to Rabbi Abahu, right? So why do you not say that he's chayav kares? So Ron points out, right, that the assumption is that the word means nen, or it includes nen. And therefore, when it says kolachel machmetzes, you should also say that's hanah. So the Ron says that that's not what he's saying. The word doesn't mean hana. It's not perish alasha, right? He says before English, he says about Rabbi Abahu dina hu diyalef nevela v'lomi mashmuusa delishna. Right. So he's saying, and this is what he says. V'afikam Rabbi Abahu by the lotocha achila mashma lo hana umiyum nishar rechmana hana benevela v'litzriach v'vuliyas the whole labi dikvatsi misri nami bana v'bishen b'chal lashon achila. Okay. On this, the Mahadir says, the Divrei Rabbeinu Mavar, the Hana, Eina Bacha Halav, the Lo Sochu, and look, the Gilsa HaTar, Bechol Yisuri Achilo, the Himasurim Bahana. I'm Halav that. Much else there, I think, is also very open to the question, but just on that point, you see, he thinks that this is Bechreach. Once you say this, you have to say. Once you say that it's not a Diyuka, it's not a Perish of Lashem, but rather a derivation of the Din, it can't be. What that means is you're not violating that law. I think that is not correct. As we will see, it's possible to say that the Lashon means Achila, but nonetheless, that is what that Asr is Hana as well. And we'll get to that. So that's just basically the a priori that what we can look to. In terms of the relationship between the prior question, I think that's how I see it. Now, in terms of the Makaros, what we actually find, so then I think here, so there are different things to look for. There's right, direct, explicit evidence about this question, and then there's, we'll see, a number of different issues that I think are probably closely related and reflective of this question. First, in terms of direct evidence, so here we can look to the minyan mitzvahs, the money mitzvahs. These are not mentioned in the minyan halavin or discussed therein, and if it is, in what context? Right, so here we find first the yered. I just note, by the way, that if it's a sewer ba'alma, it certainly won't be found on the minyan mitzvahs at all. If we do find it, so that's quite informative, and then we'll have to see what we find. All right, so the Urayim here is instructive. The Urayim lists, regarding chametz, two mitzvahs. There's one iser, right, and he divides the mitzvahs into various, what he calls them, pillars, right, amudim, and he has two different groups, Amudei Hana and Amudei Achila, and there are several Yisurim that are found in both, one of them being Chametz, right? Lo Yilacha Chametz, and he says that you have one lav in Simen Nun Beis that you shall not eat Chametz. He then quotes in Simen Kof Gimel that you also shall not be Nena from Chametz. Both of these, Lo Yilacha Chametz. Now this is not unique to Chametz, as I said, this is true for the Urayim, if you notice, true of Basar B'Chalav, Orla, and Kilei Akerim as well. And here I want to just explain, actually a little bit more what we've just hinted to before, which is that basically what the Urayim is saying is that you have two Isurim and one Azhar. Even though there's only one Azhar, that there's only one words in the Pasuk that do prohibiting things, and there's one prohibiting phrase in Torah, there are two Dvarim Shemuzharim Nehem based on that. There are two lavin that are based on that. Now the proposition, that is al-Korhenu what occurs in Chametz, and as well as in Orla and Kilei Akerem. Basar B'Chalav is a little different story. Basar B'Chalav, one could have easily said there's a separate pasuk there devoted to it, especially if you take the limud of the Gemara and Kedushin, right, that Chad Iser Hana, Chad Iser Bishul, Chad Iser Chad Bishul, Chad Achil, and Chad Hana. So one could have said, okay, so there's different Iser Hana there, but elsewhere not. But you see that the Urayim The Urayim does count it regarding chametz and orla as well. And I think that there's a clear precedent for this kind of thing, and that's exactly what Ari, you mentioned, which is lav shebachalos. One type of lav shebachalos is this. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Sanhok Gimel gives you the classic example, where it lists several different isurim, several different dvarim shemus harming him, several different lavin, and they all have the same asara. The lavin in the particular asara they're discussing there is lo tok l'adam, which issues several different isurim. One, it's the isur, that's the isur, that's the makkah for the isur of achilas eber menacha. Two, it's the isur of achilas basar kachim kodem zrika. Three, it's the isur of bezin. Bezin has an isur to be telling anything, but yom shahar goes on that. Four, it's also the isur for the yasara, for a person to be zolo the sobek. That's what the ben torah mara violates on his way to becoming a ben torah mara. I think there are others there as well, but the basic point is this is what the Gemara calls it. This is a lashon close. All of these separate isurim, they're different isurim. There's an isur of achil of eber menachah. There's an isur of achilas basar kachim kodem zrika. All of them have the same ashara, though. All of them have the same phrase in the Torah. So that's not a chiddush that you can have such a thing. And this presumably is what is being reflected in the Urayim. We'll come back to the Rambam in soon. Rambam probably could not say such a thing, but he seems to not be aware of that at one point. But we'll come back to that. But the existence of such isurim are I think unquestionable. And it would seem that the Urayim is listing them as separate mitzvahs. That's simply his listing of two different mitzvahs in this case, as even though they come from one asara. Just as a side point, it's hard to see from the Urayim whether or not how many times does, let's say, he count? How many Yisroel does he count for, let's say, Lo Sofol Adam? And the reason for that is, if you look at the Simanim of the Urayim, it comes out into the high 400s. So he's not listing Taryag. The general understanding is that he has several of the Simanim there are several mitzvahs being discussed in several Simanim. And this way you could fill it out to 613. Well, once you know that, it becomes very hard to really pinpoint. But it's quite possible that the simon in which he discusses, I forget which one it is, Losoch Adam, he mentions all these different Isurim. Quite possibly these are five, but we don't really know for sure, because we don't have his full scheme. So, but it's certainly possible, at the very least, I don't know of any reputation of this, that the Urayim does count things like this as two different mitzvahs. In any event, that's what he seems to be doing here, right? You have the Isra of Hanan, and you have the Isra of Achila. And this, I think, is quite consistent, if you remember, with what we find in the Urayim, in terms of the question of the Diyuka Dekrar, the Mashmas HaLashon. If you remember that the Urayim was quite bothered, it was quite evident to the Urayim that he took it as an interpretation. He took Rabbi Bo and probably Chizkiya as an interpretation of the words Ye'afel and Yofel. And that was reflected, we saw, at least in two places, right? One, he was bothered by the question of Tumas Ochlim, right? When Kisui Dam. He was bothered by the Kisui Dam question, right? When you find that the Pasuk says, in the context of Kisui Dam, Asher Ye'afel, and this is the basis upon which we are Memai of Tamei, right? And we're my behemoth Tameim. So he's bothered. What do you mean? I share your fell means that which you can get hana from two. And his answer seemed to leave that in place. So clearly he interpreted the lashon to be something which is implying hana as well. Or not implying hana, is hana, or it means hana as well. We also saw that in the context of Asher Yechel of Nefesh, right? This is how he interpreted Asher Yechel of the Hedra of Nefesh, right? And he explains through this, she just. Beis Hillel was not really rooted in a mitoch. It was defining what is ochel nefesh, and his point was ochel nefesh doesn't necessarily mean that which you eat. It can also mean that which is being nana from. After all, we see Rabbi Bo, right? We see, I think he mentions both Rabbi Bo and Chizkiya, right? We see then that they interpret Yofel to mean that. So it's quite, it accords very nicely with the Rambam's understanding that they are really there. You do violate this law. Now he quotes it as two azara. So what that means with ora is. What emerges from the Urayim is that when the Gemara says echad achila ve'echad hana b'mashma, what that means is it means both. These are two alternative interpretations, and the pasuk means both of them. Just like Lo Sofol Adam means do not eat before before the do not the basar akachi before Zrikas Adam, and it also means you know, don't be zol sovei means, or what's the other one? Right, Eber Menachai. So the words lo yachel chametz mean both do not eat chametz and right, and do not be nana with chametz. So these are two alternative interpretations of the word, both of them valid. That's what it means. Echad is rachila, echad is nava matra. I think it's a pretty clear, it's pretty clear the word from the Iranian. So we have one answer from the Iranian. Right? The Iranian thinks that you do indeed violate separate lavin, not only in the case of bas b'chalav, where we have, you know, one low savash l'kidik to be interpreted that way, which we'll come back to, but also even in the case where there's only this one azara, and we just are deriving isar na, so Yerim understands that is it is also a separate lav for hana. What about the Rambam? So the Rambam is very informative as well. Now, in looking at Sefer Mitzvot, you have to look at the mitzvah, the lav of chametz. All we find in the context of chametz is that it speaks about achil. Right? Lo yachal chametz is nisar achil. Now, that itself is not very informative at all. That, if we just had that itself, I think that that's consistent with all of our possibilities. It's consistent, I think, obviously, with its being an Isur Ba'ama. The fact that he doesn't mention anywhere on his list of mitzvahs that there's an Isur Hanah, obviously consistent with the possibility that the Tzivoy is actually not even, there's no Tzivoy, there's no phrase, there's no Torah or Tzivoy in the Torah, which is the Makar for this Isur, it's simply an Isur Ba'ama. That's possible. It's possible as well, sorry, that it's Bechal Lav Da'achila, and this, I think, is pretty obvious and familiar with Sefer Mitzvot. The Rambam doesn't, it's not an easy thing to figure out. This is probably a dissertation somewhere waiting to be written, but like what details the Rambam includes in Sefer Mitzvot, in his little biurim that he, the Rambam wrote Sefer Mitzvot, he tells us, says he wrote Sefer Mitzvot as a sort of a hakdama to his Mishnah Torah, because he did not want, he had the weight of you know, prior shitos, you know, on, you know, in the back of his mind. He knew that if he just wrote his sefer, some people would be like, wait, this is a mitzvah, that's not a jam, can I use this, that? You know, so he disagreed, he had worked it out, and he disagreed with many of the sefer mitzvos that had been written before him. Bahag, and also one that's less familiar is by Sefer HaChepetz, I think it's called. I'm not sure what era it's from. I'm not sure if it was in the Gaon times or it was right before him. But it's on Ozar Fatma if you want to look at it. But he was bothered by, he mentioned it a couple of times, differences. He was bothered by, you know, how can you just write ahead if he has to deal first with the misconception that people are going to have. That's why he wrote Sefer Mitzvah. So what is he gives you a little bit of introduction to the mitzvah. He tells you he's also Bar Makom. Which details does it include? It's hard to figure out. He certainly does not include all the dinim d'oraisa. So it wouldn't be the fact that he doesn't mention anywhere in Sefer Mitzvot, including the law of the chilo, that you violated, that you are over b'hana, doesn't necessarily mean that he doesn't think you are over, you violated Isser b'hana. And I think it's even consistent with its constituting separate Isser based on the same phrase. And this is based on the reason I think it's consistent with that. And I was here, you could say, well, that's true, then it should be listed like the Arang. But here I'm basing myself on the Rambam's Shorash Test. The Rambam, who I mentioned, gives you the klal, right? The way we count mitzvot is we go by the Dvarim Shem Uzharim Bahem, the Isurim, what we call an Isser, right? Not the Azharos, right? Not the phrases in the Torah that violate. And he points out that you're going to count 14 losof klal adams. I'm sorry, Isurim to Idam. He counts a few of them just to indicate how many that would take up if we were to count. If we were to think that the proper thing to count is the Azharos. The proper thing to count is the Dvar Mam Yizarim. But then he has somewhat of a withdrawal, or a retreat from that point, and he basically says that there's an exception to this. And I'll just read it to you. The exception is Lash of Achalos. I recommend very strenuously going through the Shorash Test. He says, Gam al-yitefa gam ken yoses har nechpelos milos mischafos. Just because the pasuk uses different words doesn't mean either that it's, again, the thing is, what are you being commanded or prohibited? But then he says, Masharoi she kubar al zahashorish mashani misapro. Vihu kizeshani omer sharoi sheyimanu sheyimnu hainyanim hamitsuva behem. The inyanim, the things that are being commanded or forbidden. Vamuzerman, who betanai sheyia be inyan hamuzer mimenu la be yichud be chol inyan be inyan or. Horaya yomru was amatik shuhu yil inyan psasa mixasel. We'll get to that. Amnam kishiyel lav echad kolel in yanim rabim hine azim nehalav ahu levada lo kol on yinam sheyichlo sam halav ahu v'zeh lav shabchal lo shein lo kemav kemo shavar ata. And he quotes the sugya in Sanhedrin about ozovak v'aladam, excuse me, hine ele chamisha in yanim kulam muzharmehem v'hem kulam nechlal in tatas lav echad. In second, then he says, but you're not loke because it's lav shabchal. The connection to Malkus, we'll get to that subsequently here. And he says, "Vein Raishi even call Isser Isser should call alum Zehalav mitzvah b'tnei atzma." But you know, Lav the Vadoj call Dvarim Kula. So the Rambam says that I think it's appropriate to count not the Dvarim in this case, not the Dvarim Shemuzharim Behem, but where the Lav, you know, is basically the plus upon the Dvarim Shemuzharim is only one way. You're not going to count more than one. Isser or mitzvah for something which is for a single davar shemuzer man. However, right, that's the extent of it. You might count one for multiple, and the reason for that is because you can't count more than the azharos, than the azhar or the mitzvah. But the or it's really just an azhara. But although I think there's a parallel example of mitzvah I once suggested in. I don't get it.
An
Asesha B'Cholos? Almost like an Asesha B'Cholos, where one mitzvah really does include, does have two different tzivuyim. As a suggestion, I think it's possible to interpret the Rambam regarding mitzvahs lulav. That there's two different mitzvahs. There's lulav Gvulin and lulav Kozayim Mikdash. These are two different, entirely different mitzvahs, or they're two different mitzvahs, maybe have two in various different ways. This is based on the impetus to say such a thing, because the Rambam thinks that there are two different sets of psulim. He thinks that the chiluk in the Gemara is between Yom Rishon and the Shaar HaYom is Lav Dafka, Takavs Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai versus Deoraisa, but Bin Mikdash. Right? Bin Mikdash Deoraisa versus Gvulin Deoraisa, Yom Rishon Gvulin Deoraisa, two different sets of psulim. To the extent these are based on the pasuk, so then. Well, in any way, I think the problem with that is just that he doesn't count two mitzvahs. So there's what to say there. Anyway, but the general point is that this is something which is you find in the Laban, and therefore he only counts he won't count more than the Azhar, more Isurim than there are Azharos. Why? Because it's connected with his shita regarding Malkios, which he discusses elsewhere, and which Ramban takes up. But in any event, the point is that the Rambam states explicitly that he does not count, right, more than one azar. Now, there are exceptions, and this is not a stira. The Rambam is quite aware of it. He both hinted to it already in the section that I read, and when it comes to the actual minyan mitzvos, he will note that this is one of the exceptions. This is an example in the Rambam counts two mitzvos, two isurim from the Isser from the Azhara, Elohim l'sakalel, or Elohim l'sakalel. I think the answer for the Rambam, though, in the end, I had something about this once, and I actually asked a chapter about it, and he said he also had that something. In the end, I think that we can derive an answer for the Rambam that it's Elohim l'sakalel. I mean, Gemara says, everybody agrees that there's an Isser l'kal dayan, but also an Isser b'yachas Hashem, and they're both derived from the pasuk. The question is, how is this happening? And the Gemara presents 2 to 9, Tanaim disagree that we're Kibbutz and Shmal. Whether it's Lashon Chol, Elohim is Lashon Chol, and then we derive, as maybe based on Kabbalah Chomer, to the Baruch Shalom, or Elohim is Lashon Kodesh. See, I asked in this topic because when I was teaching this, I wanted to be able to say one or the other instead of saying Elohim or Elohim, depending on whether or not it's Lashon Chol or Lashon Kodesh. And I wasn't sure which one, so he said that, I think he said that Sofrim, the place where this really made me start saying it and just being careful about, saying Lashon, saying Lashon, using shame, is sofrim when they have to have kavanas shem when they write when they're writing the Sefer Torah. If it's kol, then it needs to be then it's Elohim. But if it's Elohim, then you have to have that in mind when you write it. So I think he said he looked it up in the they say you write it al sofrim. I think he said that. Don't quote me on it. That the sofer should write Elohim. As he's writing it, you should have in mind that this is if we possibly meant it's Elohim, then it should be Kavan Hashem. But from the Rambam, actually, in the end, I think you can answer this question. Because the Rambam, he counts it twice, and in Mitzvah Samech, he notes that he counts it twice. And here you have an example where the Rambam seems to be violating his principle. He does count the same Azara, but they're two different Yisurin in his counting. But he explains that there are exceptions, and he already had mentioned it. This is in Mitzvah Samech. I'm sorry, in Losa Se Samech. She says, Yeronim in a coach, Shem HaGadol Yisalem, Masha Yomro, Aminim, etc., etc. Birchas Hashem. Then he says, V'amnam ha'azhara, Hine lo ba'a ha'kots of azhara, Miyuchedes v'zeh ha'nien levado, Ela ba'a azhara kolel, Zing is a v'zulesa, V'amnam ha'amro, Elohim lo sakalel, Elohim lo sakalel. But now you see, he says, B'feirish amru ha'ashem miyuchad, V'hulu v'hulu. Then he says, Bida, Shayos Hamin Haze Mehazharos Kol Shneid Varim Oshlosha Inu Mechuyu Shiyah Mimin Lam Shabacholos. In other words, you can have a case where you have in a single Azhara and it covers various Yisurim, but it won't have the Dinu of Lam Shabacholos. Now here he's talking about for the purpose of Minin HaMitzvos, but hand in hand he thinks that this is talking about also for the purpose of Malkos. It doesn't have din lav shakalos, which at the very least you don't get lav and malchus for all of them. Whether or not you get malchus for any of them is a question that actually comes up in our parak. Ram thinks you do, along with many rishonim, we thought you could. But he said, ba'avur shakalos be'er ha'onish b'chol inyan v'yadana be'chorev shakol inyan mehem muzar minu. Where you have a lav, where you have an onesh for something, so then we're much more lax upon, this is his explanation of this, they were much more lax upon finding an Azhar, identifying an Azhar, as an example, he believes that in that case, Mazir and Minadin. And if the Torah specifies an Onesh, then you actually can count as the Azhar some Kavachom. In that case, it doesn't have Din Lashar Plus. Okay. It's important for Lashar Plus, we're not getting to that now, but the bottom line is that you know, the Rambam 2 has exceptions to this point. And therefore, I think it is at least open to question whether or not, I mean, this is nobody I've seen actually defines, Lav Shabacholos, let's say as an example for the Arim, is it actually Lav Shabacholos? I think it's a model, but we'll come back to, especially on the Malkus question, we'll come back to this on the Malkus point, but this is relevant for that. I mean, does this have the din of Lav Shabacholos? That's an open question. Why it might not? I think there are various reasons why you could suggest it wouldn't. But in any event, I think it is therefore very non-informative.
What would Lashon HaKodesh do for Malkus, as in over the lav?
So at the very least, so Lashon HaKodesh ain't looking love. Now, what does that mean? So some Rishon understood that means that you can't get Malkus for anything that you would do that is covered by that Azhar. Most Rishon, let me just take a look on that Daf Dalet, Tosfos already, believe that. You can, just take a look at what it says. Chodad, the Yerayim, already, tell you all people, right? He says, take a look. He thinks you can get it, depending on what's Mufurash. If there's one particular meaning which is somehow more Mufurash, it's more, the Pashas HaLashon, you can get Malkus for that one, and not for the others. The way he says it, it doesn't have the Lashon HaKodesh. And that specific is there. That specific lav is not considered a lashon chalos, at least for the purposes of. So I think already, we'll get back to when we get to Malkus point. But in any event, in the end, we're not left in this state of unawareness, because the Rambam actually does discuss quite extensively this question in the Isser of Achilas Basar Chalav in Kufei Zayin, where he relates directly to this question. And what he states is that hana is forbidden by the law of achila. Right? The nana violates the same law as the ochel. And he says this is true not only for chametz, which is he mentions as well, and orla and kelet karen, but basar b'chalav. That's where he's discussing this in the context of losos kupei zayin. He says that I'm going to fill in here what I didn't way back in Kuftzadi Zayin, or way ahead in Kuftzadi Zayin, that when I say Lo Yachal Chametz, I mentioned Achila, you should know it's actually, you also violate this law via Hana. And is it right? That's what he says. And what I want to look at is just his explanation of that. The way he explains it is that in these cases, when the pasuk forbids eating, so what we're saying about that is that eating is meant as an example of hana. It's just one example of hana. This is what he says, right? But Amro Yisallah, the Ezadavar. Take a look. I have it here for you, both in the Kapok translation and in the standard. He says, the Amro Yisallah, the Ezadavar Shelo Yafel. Eino Ela Dugma Mi Dugmaos Hahana. When the Torah says, and I'll just add in here implicitly because he himself does, when the Torah says Lo Yachal, mentions it's forbidden to be ochal, to eat something, and it doesn't, it is, that is not accompanied by a license to be nana, that means, right, that means that the achila that is being asked in the pasuk is an example, is one example of hana, is dugma mi dugmaos hana. Right, when the pasuk says Lo Yachal, when it forbids achila, eating, so then, and then, but it isn't other, accompanied with a license for other types of anos, then the eating is not just an act in of itself, it's not just a, you know, eating itself, which is forbidden, eating is an example of deriving anos. Right? That's what the Rambam says. Right? And what the Torah means to be forbidding is she'enen in ba'lo ba'achila ba'lo ba'uzvos. Right, achila is just what represented. Now, how does one know whether the achila is intended on its own or as a representative, or as a representative of another? That's what he goes on to explain. This is what we find in Rabbi Abo, right? He quotes our Gemara. Right, Rabbi Abo says, "Who amram alav hashalom, alayim hashalom, kol makom shenar lozofa lozofa lo yachal efe is achila efe is shenar ba machrati uprad lechal katsu b'darash beir minevela." That what he's saying basically is, right, if the Torah does not license hana, so then you know achila is just an example of hana, but it's not limited to hana in and of itself, right? If the Torah does license hana, then you know when the Torah says achila, it only is prohibiting achila and not shar hanos. There's much to comment on here, and here I'll just discuss a few. I'll just discuss one thing first, and then I'll get to the justification for why he thinks this is the case. It's clear. I do think. In the Ram, that it's clear that this is disproving, right, the Mahadir in the Ram. Right? What the Rambam has here is, on the one hand, it's very clear, he thinks, that achila in the pasuk really means eating. Right? Achila, the pasuk, when it says achila, means eating. And nonetheless, right, he's not reinterpreting the word to mean something other than achila, other than eating. And nonetheless, right, we find that he's saying, as his whole point, you violate the Isser of Achila via Hana. Inasmuch as, right, this Achila is meant as simply an example of the Hana. So this point that if you don't, right, that the Mahadir had said, that if you don't take the word to mean Nehne, but you just think that it's a din that you can derive, if you think it means Achila, Achila Mamish, so then you don't violate the law, right? The idea that the hana in b'chal lav losofu, I think that's two different questions. One is it b'chal the lashon of the pasuk? And the second is it b'chal the iser? And you can have it that it's not b'chal the lashon of the pasuk, but it is b'chal the iser. The way the Rambam accounts for it is the lashon of the pasuk is mentioning one example of hanas. When we see that the Torah doesn't accompany it with a license for other hanas, we know that this is just an example of other hanas. So that's, I think, a clear instance of where we can disassociate the questions. It doesn't mean hana, but nonetheless, the iser that one violates is the law of achila, of lo yochal. Now to the Rambam's justification for thinking about it this way, for including achila v'hana under one law and for understanding achila as just an example of hana. What he explains in this context, what he explains here on this point, is that there's a substantive kinship between achila and hana. Achila, he says, min mimine hanahi. This is not the latter point. I think it's not the point that this is a dugma, mi dugma sanah, right? But min mimine hanahi, meaning when the Torah asks for something be achila, even the act of achila, achila is itself a min mimine hanah, it's one form of hanah. Therefore, this is what happened is it's sort of a natural kinship with Hana, such that when you find that the Torah is prohibiting also Behana, that's not to be understood as some separate Isser. That's what he says is Kula Mihinech. It's all part of the same Isser. And therefore it's Roy to count as one part of one Isser, and to understand then that when it says Achila, it means it as an example of Hana. This is how the Rambam works it, right? This is how he explains it. He says, let's look at the Kibon, right? He says, Sheisar not in roi sheyimanem mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Why not? Nei shehu v'isar achila in an effort. That's the reason. It's one idea. It's one thing. It's one concept. In what way? Because achila is itself a min mina na. Achila itself, here he doesn't mean it as an example of hanah. He's saying it's a type of hanah. It's a one method of deriving hanah. The act of achila is an act of hanah derivation. Therefore, when we find that the Torah has commanded, right, that has prohibited Hana, so that's just expanding the range of Hanas, it sounds like, right? It sounds like it's not only the act of Achila, which is itself Hana, but also Shar Hanas. And therefore, to be counted as one, Memela again, the Lashon HaPasuk, which only mentions Achila, that's using it as an example. That's what emerges in the Rambam. Now, just this notion, sort of the prior notion, about, you know, which is being reflected in the fact that it's to be counted as one. The notion of it as a min mine hana, that achil is a min hana. So here I think is what the comment on. I think that the idea that this that achila is a min mine hana, that the idea of achila is an act of is an act of deriving benefit of pleasure. So I think that not only is that sort of the normal way we think about eating, we think about eating food as an act of satisfaction and gratification. You know, we favor food that provides those, you know, these benefits and pleasures, you know, tasty foods and nutritional foods, these are what we eat. These are, we look forward to it as something, you know, to be savored. But also, I think it's reflected halakhically in several ways, and I'll just mention three quickly. But what time am I due for shir? What time is seventh period? Yeah.
Sixth period is
12:30
to
1:30. Oh, so we have a little time. Okay. Is that okay? So I think that is reflected in several contexts. Number one, and I discussed it with some of you, and when the Gemara gets to defining the precise parameters of Achila, at least L'inyan Isurim, the Gemara Kuf Gimel defines it in terms of Hana, right? The Gemara says, in terms of Achilas Kazai, so when Gemara Kuhn from Gimel has two opinions about what exactly we're talking about. Rabbi Yochanan, Hana Eskrono, and Reish Lakish, I don't recall, I think actually Reish Lakish does not use the word Hana, but all Rishon, you know, put in there, it's Me'ani, right? Is it the you know, the garment, the throat? Is it the Hana of the throat, or is it the Hana of the stomach? Now, while one could perhaps say this is a melitza ba'alma, it doesn't really mean hana. I'm just talking about, you know, the place, the location. I think much more simple, pashtrad is no, hana means hana. And that what we find here is that achila is being defined in terms of hana. The maisa achila is delimited by, right, the heart of it, has been defined in terms of hana. It's hana sagara, hana samayi, but hana. So that's one context where we see that. Another context is the Ptur Misasek. Right, the Gemara in Krisis mentions that we have a din, right, Misasek, but Pat Misasek. So the Gemara, and this, and, you know, it's most, you know, the specific context in which it's relevant in the Gemara mentions it for, is the context of Chatas. Misasek, right, in general, you have, for Shogi, you're Chayev Chatas for various Isurim, it's like 36 Isurim in the Torah. The exception, the Gemara says, is Chalav Barayos Shekinen. By the way, it turns out, if you look at the list, it's a large chunk of them are Chalav Barayos. I don't exactly count, but there's a lot of them. For sure, the majority of the Suri Karis fall into either one of those. But either way, the Gemara says that is not true of Chalav Barayos. Why Shekinen? That's what the Gemara says. Now, the prevalent understanding of the Petur Misasik, with the notable exception of Rekiva Eger, is that Misasik is not simply a super shogeg. It's not a Petur onish due to a lack of kabana, which is explicitly how Rekiva Eger is understood in Shut Zimenches. Basically, he calls it a shogeg case that happens to be, you know, poter even many chatas. But rather, it's a different kind of Petur entirely. The idea is there's no mais hagava. The person as a legal personality is not engaged in an act. Rather, something is happening involving his limbs and his body, but he is not a wielder of those in the course of, you know, executing an act. Right? A person sort of, you know, knocks into a light. So he's not lit something. His body, you know, in the end was involved in it being lit, but he himself did not do anything as a legal agent, as a legal personality. That's how it's generally understood. But the Gemara, as we said, says that there is an exception of Chalav Marayas where you're chayav because Shekeinetna. Now, at the very least, you see from this that Chalav Marayas are typically associated with Hana. But it's, I think, much more. Likely indicates much more. And there, I think there are two ways to understand exactly how this works. How Hana makes it immune to the Petur Misasik. And this is what I was about to do. One way to understand it is that basically it substitutes for Kavana in being misari, the physical undertaking or the physical occurrence, the movement of the limbs, to the person as a legal agent. Instead of the piece of food going down your digestive tract, what we have here is an act of eating. True, you didn't at all, you were not aware of that you were eating as you were eating, but you had enough from it. And that is subjectively a link to define you as the, you know, put you in the driver's seat, now that's an act of eating. That's one way to take it. That's before is what Rashi has in mind in Sanhedrin Tanakh Beis on Beis. Sasik, he says, Shekinena, I think he says something like, Hana Kit Miskabi Dam. I think that's what he has in mind. Alternatively, one could say, and this is a little bit more Machudish, that it's not that Hana sort of reconnects the Gabra Haose with what happens to his limbs, but rather it's Mechayiv in and of itself. And in a Chinami, you are not a wolf, an agent of an act of Achila here. You didn't do an act of, you didn't eat. This is something that happened to your body. Food passed through your digestive tract. Alpha pichein, you violate the Yisr, because what the Torah prohibits here is the Hanas Achila. That's the Hana that is normally associated with an act of Achila. In this case, it happens to be, you didn't do an act of Achila. It was done to you, in a sense. But nonetheless, you had the Hanas Achila. And that too, again, not to be held as something which is, the equivalent of Zadum, but nonetheless, that too is an Avera. So Maisa Avera doesn't have the Petur Misasik that you didn't as a legal agent engage in Avera. Here you have the Maisa itself of Achila you didn't do, but the Hanas Achila you did. Either way, I believe that this certainly highlights the centrality of Achila as an act of Hana, the central of Hana to Achila. Certainly according to the latter interpretation, because according to the latter interpretation, Torah forbids Achila, and it turns out what's forbidden is actually not a maisa at all, but rather simply hanas achila. Right, that's the davar shemuzar mimenu. But even on the former view, and I was mentioning this to Arya yesterday, I think it's clear that this highlights something significant. If hana were simply an incidental thing that occurs, even, let's say, it occurs very often, but it's nonetheless incidental, entirely incidental to the maisa achila. Right, if the maisa there here is just an act of achila, and hana is just incidental to that, so then, I don't think you'd be able to say, unlikely to say, that Hana suffices to connect you back with that Maisa Achila. Even among Chayvei Krisus, one can easily identify other Asurim where there should be Hana. I mean, one of the Asuri Karis is Malacha Shabbos. So any, just take any act, Malacha, where one gets Hana from it. It's not hard to conceive of that. Would we say in that case that we should say, well, if you're Nana, so in the end, you did. You are put back in the driver's seat of that pukula. Now it's not just something that happens to you, but you engage in an act. Now, l'shem, honesty, the Tosfos and Sanhedrin does seem to consider exactly this. Tosfos and Sanhedrin's on base. On base, I can give it to you here to look at. All right, but I'm going to show. So Tosfos is bothered by the question and bedeviled many. The Gemara seems to quote two different makaros. It doesn't indicate at all why you need the second. The Gemara says, "Ba prat l'misasek." And it says, Malachas Mashabbos Asotara. In Shabbos, you're going to be chayav because Malachas Mashabbos Asotara. The truth is, if we had time to discuss this, the Rambam is even more difficult. But the question is, why is Shmuel citing a Melachas HaShabbos Sotor even without that? You have the word Bapar Musasek. It happens to be here, as where Rick Baker suggests, that Bapar Musasek is a Maisa Avera, which is like a Shogeg, plus, as opposed to Shabbos, where he thinks, because Melachas HaShabbos Sotor, you're not engaged in Avera at all. Now, Kamina, for instance, the Rick Baker thinks, in terms of Lafkusha Misura, as an example. Some other person, do you have a requirement to, if you see the person and you're about to be engaged in that kind of stuff, do you have a requirement to be mafresh him from Isser? So he thinks that depends. Shabbos, no. Kol Torkul, yes. Okay. But the answers, Rishon don't give that answer. And here, Tosuk gives several answers. I just cited you one of them here. One of them he gives is V'yeshlam of the high kamer b'Shabbos pater aval pishenenem j'malach l'Shabbos. Now, it isn't clear to me how to read this. Is he saying aval pishenenem inasmuch as malach l'Shabbos? That I think is hard to imagine. I think he probably more likely means it's usher, not to come for Shabbos, putter. I'm sorry, it's your Shabbos, you have a tour, I'll be shenana, even though you can be nana, but you're putter because of Lachos HaShabbos. Either way, Tosa still seems to consider Lachos HaShabbos, consider Hanah that accompanies a person as he's doing Malacha, would in fact make an exception. This, I think, is tremendously difficult, huge chiddush. And Tosa move on from that very quickly. There aren't too many other Malachas Shabbos is one of the other Shabbos Malachas is one of the other Yisurim there. So the Gemara mentions specifically Misasek Bechalag Arayos and leaves out basically one of the few remaining ones. But in fact, it actually really just is a matter of whether or not you get Hanah. So that basically why don't you understand? But in cases where you get Nana, Behechashenana, Chayav. Why don't you say that? If it's true. I think it's very likely, again, as I say, this tip of the long post, so you don't really see anything like this, that it isn't true. Even if you were to get Hana, that wouldn't be an exception, and the reason for that is simple. Because, as we're talking about, right, the Hana of Achila essentials is bound up with the act of Achila, right? The act of Achila is an act of, by its nature, derived Hana. And thus, having that Hana, it's the subjective experience of Hana, is something which puts you back in the driver's seat as far as being an Ochel, that wouldn't be true regarding other groups. Now, for the Rambam himself, it turns out there is an additional context in which it's clear, and this one he mentions in that very mitzvah, and that is the Din of Shloka Dar Hana. The Rambam saw this in the Sugya on Chatal Nabez. As I say, we're not doing the Sugya itself, the Rambam has a unique view here of the Sugya. I don't know that there's another Rishon that interpreted it this way. The Gemara and Chavdana base, we'll get to it more, we'll subject it to more analysis when we get there. Basically, there are two Lishnos there of Turim, of Shalok Derech. The first is, Kol Yisur Shabbatara in Lokan Alein El Derech Achilasan. And the Gemara says, and this excludes, let's say, as an example, the Yisur of Chelev, Chat. You eat Chelev, but you eat it raw. So you're not eating it to derech achilasa. That's part. Then the Gemara says you have an additional, according to one other Igadamri, you have also kol yisur shabbatara in lokelan in derech hanasan, and the Gemara says, and that excludes something like using the chelo shashor niskal to put as a bandage for a refuah, for the amakasa. What's the lesson? Is it disciplinous? That's I think it's not. It just says, so it seems most of them take this to mean there are two different meanings here. One is achila shaloki derech achila, and one is hana shaloki derech hana. And either way, what we mean by shaloki derech is that this is not either the normal way to do it, or it's not a normal thing to do, or it's not the primary purpose of it. One way or the other, we'll get there, and when we see it in the sugya of Chatal Beis. But that's what's going on in that sugya. The Rambam derived from this sugya a din, and I believe it's very clear. He derived this from the Lishna Kama, meaning this is the din, the initial din, of Kol Yisur Shabbatara Ein Lokan Derech Achilasan, really also just means it's a din be'achila that Ein Lokan Alein, that you're only chaya for achila derech hana. Right? That achila derech, shaloki derech hana is pater. And by this, what he means is achila shaloki derech hana means that you ate it and did not receive any hana. There's no hana l'chech. Right, so as an example, he says there's no hana l'chich, or if it's you do something which you add in other things which are quite bitter and make it disgusting, so there's no hana l'chich, that's achila shlo kederach hana. Again, we'll get back to that sugya and where there could be support for the Rambam's understanding of it. But for now, this is what the Rambam saw in that Gemara. And that as well, basically what emerges from the Rambam is when the Torah asks for something about Achila, so you only violate it if you actually get Hanas, if you have Hanas Achila. Right, this is something which the Rambam says, again, in this very mitzvah at the end. Again, we'll come back to the context, which is problematic, but he says that in general, Komash Nisko Bar Achila, Inu Chayv Achiye Yehane Be Achilaso. That's in general. That's the yisod that Aaron got here. And again, I think that clearly indicates, right? All the Torah said was it's also to eat, and we say though that you're going to be violating this isser. You will not violate this isser if you eat shelo kedarach hana without getting hana from it. Before I continue, just point out that in regard to all these issues, one can question whether or not the connection here between the achilas and mice as an act of hana is specifically the gabe yisurim, or this is just defining hana, achila, generally speaking, when the Torah uses achila in other contexts as well. The nafkamina would be mitzvos, right? And this down the line, there are questions that one can ask. Number one is hana's grono, or the categories of hana's grono and hana's mayim, are those relevant to mitzvos? That's something which Mukhasim discusses. Is the concept of misasig shekinahana, is that relevant for mitzvos? So here I have just put on the sheet. From the Ravid emerges it is. Take a look. The application of it is quite surprising. You could have had just a simple case. Just say, let's say you were not aware that you're eating something, however that might be, and turns out you ate something. You ate matzah. Turns out you ate the matzah. Are you yotze? The Ravid actually doesn't apply it in that context. He doesn't discuss it there. He just discusses it as the solution to something which on Rabbalah Bali, which is that the Rif, the Rambam likewise, seem to be associated themselves on the question of Mitzvah Sirchas Kavana. They understand the Mitzvah Sirchas Kavana in the context of the Shofar. That's the Rambam Shasak, the Yinkavan Shaveh Mashmiya, that would be a separate Roshana thing. And on the other hand, they passed in Legabe Matzah that if Haku Farsian, that you still are going to be Yotze, the mitz, even though presumably you have no Kavanah. Mitzvah Eino Tzrichas Kavanah, Legabe Matzah. So the question is how to resolve this. The Rabbi's explanation of this, again, I think this is highly questionable, but either way, it comes down on our point that Kevin the Acha Matzah Re Nene Grono, the difference is Kevin the Acha Matzah Re Nene Grono Umeyav. Notice, by the way, he's talking about where do you get these terms from? The Isser. Right? These are concepts apparently that define Achila. Here I am convinced that I haven't looked at it in the Kasa Sham inside yet. I'm convinced that this should not be the Shabbos or the Chalav. It should be the Inyan Shabbos, the Inyan Chalav and Varayos, Chalav Varayos, Chai. And therefore, Kol Inyan Achila, Lovin Kavan, limits the Ram as well, repeats this. The major issue here, I think, that is quite Mechudish and really, to me, is something which I get frequently whenever I think about it and I'm puzzled about, which is how do they bridge the gap? Here you're talking about Kavanas Mitzvah. I'm not talking about Kavanas Achila, awareness of Achila. Do you need Kavanah L'Shem Mitzvah? Right? With Ora. And how would, let's say, Shekinah help you with that? Even if you said that, okay, so it's an act of Achila, but I thought the point was do you need Kavanah L'Shem Mitzvah or not? That's something which I think is bothersome, but nonetheless, despite the question that he does attend the particular application, the point is that clearly the rabbi assumed this is a concept which is accompanies Achila wherever it says Achila. But I'll just mention in the last point, which is the issue of Achila Shloka Drachana, likewise one can ask, is Achila Shloka Drachana something which would be problematic in terms of being kind of mitzvah? We'll get to this concept. I'll look into it. That's a suffix that is one of the Mishnah Melos, and he's quite good at identifying basic questions. And he just says, I think in the context, actually, in that long, very long Mishnah Melos in the Yisod HaTorah, one of the paragraphs starts like, "Minis Tapakti, im also matzah shel kedarach hana," but then I read it. So that's a question. We'll look into what we're trying to say about it. But either way, all these. Basically seem to center on the issue of whether or not we're talking about defining just the act of Achila per se, or when the Torah offers Achila. Either way, in the end, the question becomes, right? Basically, what I'm saying is that the Rambam says achila is min min hana. So what we see is that indeed it is bound up with the hanas achila sheba, right? And therefore, when the Torah prohibits achila, doesn't license hana. So we know, number one, there is an iser hana, but also, number two, it makes sense to conclude that the achila is just a dugma midugmas hana. This is not a new thing that we now derive that there's a separate iser, right? You have an iser achila, and also you should know there's another thing you're usher to do with hana. I mean, it's totally different, hana. No, achila is bound up with hana, and therefore it makes sense to say this is all one lav. It's expanding, if you will, the lav with the other hanas as well. Achila is just a dugma midugmas hana. What requires reflection and application, of course, is the application, the basar bakalav. And here, I think, for two reasons. The first is the one that immediately comes to mind, which is that precisely in the context of basar bachalav, it would appear that this should not apply. This doesn't make sense. Why? Because in basar bachalav, we find in the sugya on chaf hey, right, that basar bachalav is an exception. Basar bachalav and kilei akerim, both of them do not have the din of achila shelo kedar chana. If you were to ochel the basar bachalav and you get no hana from it, let's say, Rambam likes to give the example of being Ma'ariv Zavramar, right, such that it's not at all something which is as, brings any hana l'cheich. So, whereas in most mitzvos, most yisurim, you're not going to be yotzei, you're not going to be over, basar bachalav you are. That's what the Gemara says on Tafet. And the Rambam himself is not unaware of this as he's writing Kupei Zayin. He mentions it twice, in the beginning of the mitzvah and in the end of the mitzvah. Right? In the beginning of Kupei Zayin, he mentioned this, and the end of Kupei Zayin, he mentioned this. I actually don't know if I quoted the beginning. He mentioned it at the end, right? He says that, yeah, and what's the reason for this? It's achila inu tsububa. It brings me to the next point, which is, it's somewhat strange the Rambam is explicating Rabbi Abahu in a context in which it doesn't apply. There is no Lashon Achila in the pasuk regarding Basar Bachalav. It says Lo Shavasho Kidiba Chalei Bimo. The way the Rambam adopted the Stam Gemara in Kiddushin, the because there are different chitos in Kulin about where does he get the Isser of Hana for Basar Bachalav, but the Rambam adopts what the Gemara in Kulin quotes, what the Gemara in Kiddushin mentions, which is one of those deos, namely that there's three Lo Shavasho Kidiba Chalei Bimo, Chad Lo Hana, Chad Lo Achila, Chad Lo Bishon. The point is, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you cannot eat. So how is this a really relevant point? How is, right, Rabbi Abahu is rooted in the fact that the Isra Na is from Leocha, right? But here the Torah doesn't mention Achila at all, rather devotes a separate pasuk to Hana. That, I think, is a separate question. It's a little bit less forceful than the first. The two questions are, of course, related. The reason there's no requirement for Derech Hana is because it doesn't say Achila. But I think that the answer is simple. I think that the answer is, the Rambam doesn't mean when he said, what he's saying here is not that when the Torah asks achila, so really what it's forbidding is hanas achila. And memela, when we find out that it's not just hanas achila, but other types of hana, it only makes sense to think of it as just expanding the range of hana. It's not just that hana, when asr achila, it isn't only asring hanas achila, it's asring kol hanas. Hanas achila is just an example. I don't think that's what the Rambam means. I think the point is more general. What he's saying is that Maisa Achila is fundamentally characterized as an act of deriving Hana. This is highlighted by the fact that in most cases when the Torah forbids Achila, it is assumed that entails that you are forbidding Hana's Achila. The Torah doesn't need to say anything other than Lo Sochal, and we assume when that's said, then it's not just the Maisa Achila which is Asr, you need to also be deriving Hanas Achila. Hanas Achila Bachal, unless you find out otherwise. And that reflects in the nature of the act of Achila. The fact that the act of Achila, it's so closely bound up with Hana that in standard cases, most cases where the Torah says Achila, all it needs to say is, don't do Achila, and we assume that Hanas Achila Bachal. That fact itself, that all the Torah needs to do is mention the act of achila is prohibited. The act of achila, and bound up with that, we find out that hanas achila too. That fact itself confers upon, it reflects the conception of maisa achila as an act of hana in and of itself, independent of whether, in the particular case at hand, hanas achila is actually required as well. Right? The Maisa Achila per se is something which is bound up, is an act of Hana. The normal way to think of it is the correct way to think of it. It's an act of Hana. So therefore, given that that's true, the Maisa Achila itself, independent of whether or not, in fact, regarding this specific issue, you need to be Nana, but in and of itself, Maisa Achila is defined as an act, is characterized as an act of Hana. It happens to be, we know that in a particular case, you actually, here's an exception, you don't need. The Torah didn't say Achila because it doesn't want you to think that all you need is that you need Hanas Achila. In this case, it isn't true. All you need in this case is a Maisa Achila. But the Maisa Achila, nonetheless, is bound up as with Hana, the concept of Hana. And therefore, in terms of just considering whether or not the Torah is now going off into prohibiting something else, or it's expanding upon the original prohibition, so you what you have is it's expanding upon the original prohibition. Apparently, it's a Maisa Achila, that's Usser, and not only that, but other kinds of Hana. When it happens to be, and this is true, and this is why the Torah went out of its way not to use the Lashon Achila, but it happens to be that this Achila actually doesn't require itself Hana. But the point is, it's still, Achila is an act of Hana, generically speaking, is an act of Hana, and therefore, when the Torah says, and not just Achila, but also Hana, it only makes sense to view this as, okay, so it's not just Achila, but also Hana. It's not working through Hana's Achila. It's the Torah uses Ma'is Achila. We can understand Ma'is Achila as being an example of Hana, even where, in fact, it's not true that you need the Hana when you do the Maisa Achila. You don't need Hanas Achila. I think that makes sense. And as far as the fact that Rabbi Abba doesn't actually, it shouldn't seem to be relevant in this case, I think the clear point there is that's precisely the point. Rabbi Abba applies because he's not being medayik from the words, the meaning of Achal. This is reconstructing the Isser, that it really is Bechal HaIsser Achila because of, based on the natural kinship. Right, that Achila is a min mimine hana. It was that basis upon which we said, therefore, when we find out that it's Asr be'Achila, it shouldn't be viewed as now, you know, the Torah is off on something else. It means be turning its attention elsewhere. It's prohibiting, right, it's part of the prohibition of Achila. It's expanding to not just Achila, an act of Hana of Achila, but other methods of Hana as well. Precisely because it's the natural kinship between Achila and Hana, and not a diuk in the Lashon, it doesn't actually require that the pasuk specify Achila. The point is still the same. Namely, the act of Achila is something which is fundamentally, is like you might say, it's a particular famous type of an act of Hana. When the Torah says, and other Hanaos are also forbidden, it can only be understood as expanding that initial Isser, and violating that initial Isser. And therefore, what you're left with in the case of Bas Bechalav is interesting in that the Torah specifically doesn't mention Achila because it doesn't want to have the normal presumption, which is that when I say Achila, so then it's not just probably, but what we assume is it's not just the act of Achila, but actually Hanatz Achila. That's not true here, but otherwise it's still exactly like all the other Isurim. You need a Maisa Achila, and a Maisa Achila has that natural kinship with, it is an act of Hana. Therefore, other Hanos are not a separate mitzvah. I think that's what makes sense to say. Mind thing is going on in the Rama. Okay, what time is it? All right, so let's stop here. How much? I guess this is the end of the Rama point. Yeah, I'll just point out the Zohar Kiya. Does seem to he mentions the issue of you know how strange it is in Bas Bechalav, although he seems to suggest something which is even stranger, that maybe you should have a separate Isser of Achila Shalukadar Hana. That I think is quite mechudash. The other thing which I'll just point out, which is that the Rambam says something, I was very bothered by this, and I was gratified to see, actually I quote here from Perlo, but the Magen Mishnah already was bothered by this, that the Rambam says that if I were to count Basar Bechalav as two different Isurim, I would have to do the same thing in Chametz Orlo Kelai Karen. And the answer to that, L'chora, is how could that have been the Hagmina? You Rambam, have a principle of Basar Bechalav. You don't count. When you have separate Isurim, right, you don't count them. You only count one azhara, one iser per azhara. So how does the Rambam just say here that if you think that this, you know, the Svara demands that you count separately the iser hana regarding Bas Bechalav, that the chad iser hana, right, is for Bas Bechalav, so then I would have to, you'd have to add an additional three mitzvahs. You'd have to have an iser hana, orlok kelai kerem, and chametz. That, and I don't know if I have a good answer to this question, it's hard to understand that, given that there's only one Azhar, and that for the Rambam is Koveya, whether or not you can count it. unless you think that it's part of the exceptions, and then you have to come into why would it be an exception. Now, here you don't have the principle that we know the Rambam thinks is an exception, which is that the Torah specifies about the, let's say, the less obvious usage, that there's a specific punishment. If the Torah mentions that, then you can use it as the Azara, consider a separate issur. It's more mefurash than, and that was the issue for Rambam and Lashon HaKalos. I come back to a different point. But that you don't have here, it's something worth considering how then it could have been. I think one direction one could consider here, although I don't have a good answer, really convincing answer, but just as a direction to think about, is that the problem for the Rambam in Lashon HaKalos, in others it's not so, but for the Rambam, he makes it clear, really in Perash Mishnah and Perek Gimel in Makos, that Lashon HaKalos is just simply one example of the basic idea that Einon Elim Kin Mazhirin, the point being that the Azhara doesn't need, it's not just that you need an Azhara, a formulation of love, it needs to be Mevaaris. This is something which we'll get to next. In the context of the next. What counts as an Azhara is not, it needs to be somewhat self-evident or clear in the Pasuk. It has to be specified and articulated in the Pasuk in a clear way, in some sort of self-evident way. Although this, we'll come back to it, But one application is Mazhir Min Adin. Others, we'll see others. The Rambam thinks that Lashon HaKalos is this problem. This is the problem for Lashon HaKalos. But that's why, for one thing, that's what explains for the Rambam why you are loke on the more pashut, on one that is pashut halashon of the pasuk, you can be loke. And the reason for that is because its azhara is mufureshes. Whereas other azharos, the other isurim that are nichval in this, or not to say nichval, that are also covered under this lav, this azhara, it's not mufurash in the azhara, and therefore you can't be loke for it. So that explains why the Rambam thinks you can be loke for the lav, which is more pashut. Again, that's shita the Tosos the Reim held as well, as it's mentioned in this parak. But this is the Rambam's explanation for it. Likewise, it also explains the way the Rambam understood his exception of when the pasuk specifies an onesh. So the way the Rambam explains that, if the pasuk specifies an onesh for, let's say, ben tzor amora, or whatever it is that is the lav, is one of the other lavin, then it doesn't count as, I'm sorry, elokim sokalel. When it says v'nokiv shem Hashem mos yumas, right? So the pasuk specifies an onesh for birchas Hashem. So then the way he explains it is that then it's more mivor already that there is such an isser, and then you can count one of the sort of the tafel lavin as a separate lav. In other words, the problem is not that you just don't have enough, words to for different isurim. That is not a problem. The Rambam has no problem copying the same words twice. It's just that the second word, the second isur, is not meforash in the lashon, and that's the problem. He won't count it for the same reason you won't get malchus in the Rambam's view. He also doesn't want to count it as a separate isur. Again, he has no problem copying the same azhara twice. That's not the issue per se. The issue is when you're applying to the second one, that is not the pashas lashon apasim. You wouldn't get malchus for that reason, and therefore you don't get it. It's not considered to be something ro'i lehimanos. Therefore, there's an exception in the case of let's say Birchas Hashem. This is where he says Vavur Hayosa Ikar B'Torah Lo Anosh Elkin is his here. Here I'll just say he says V'dash Hayosa Min Hazem Yazaros Kol Shnei Devar Moshosha Inu Mechuyu Shiyem Min Min Lav Shalchos. Vavur, this is let's say Samech. Vavur. Right? If the onus is said, we have to find an azara. But we know that there is an azara. The writing here is obviously other Rambam's. When I already know that it's usher, this act is usher. Meaning that it's already easier to attribute, it's sort of it's more of a sort of self-evident thing of reading the Torah that you know that this is being included precisely because the Torah actually specifies that it is something you get an onish for. So you know there's an azhara. You can be more free in terms of defining therefore, as you can in finding that azara. But the, in terms of the enoch and lokin mazir, the Ramban really disagreed this whole thing. But the Ram does accept this, and this is his explanation for it. So not only why. Basically, this is an explanation for how you can get an onish for the other things, but more importantly, he thinks this creates an explanation for how you can have them listed as separate mitzvos. And that's the point, is that it's I don't need to hear Chachamim's shiurim to know that what I'm doing is usur, right? That's the problem. The problem was that these other isurim are not mevoar in the pasuk. But if I know already in psukim, if I read the psukim and I see that no kevshim Hashem, that there's something, obviously it must be usur. So then, that when we then say that also is covered under Elohim L'Sokalel, right? Then that's something which is royally manos in the Sefer Mitzvos, because in the end it's not something you need the Shurim to find out. In other words, the issue was that Ram's not going to list these Shurim that you need to you can't just listen to Hashem B'Sinai, you've got to ask Chacham to help you with it. Basically, the big adult. But we'll come back to it. So the point being that when it's something which is somehow the pashas of psukim themselves lend the fact that this activity is prohibited, lend one to understand this activity is prohibited, he can list that as a separate iser. So the limitation might say it's not in the azhara being used for more than one iser. The limitation really was that those other things being usur is not the pashas sakasu, but when I know that it is because the pasuk says you get a punishment for it, then it can be listed. The reason I think that might be relevant is maybe if you say that in as much as it doesn't take a much literary imagination to understand things being cited as examples, plus it does it all the time. The Lechem, Kali, Vachamel, right? The Rambam, as we'll see, that's Chadash, by the way. How do I know everything besides? These are examples. The we'll see the Rambam says that Batashkis mentioned specifically in Eitz Ma'achal, but it also includes other things. Right, the Torah can specify something, and that's just one example. So this is not exactly the same thing. It's not the sort of the chepza, but the idea is that this is something which is not too far from the pashas akasuv. Not because you're redefining what the word means, but because it's not that hard to understand something is being used as an example. And therefore, one might say that this is a suggestion that he could have listed actually. If it were really appropriate to consider these two different concepts, he could have listed them. But the whole point is, the reason that he could have listed them is also the reason why it should not be, which is that these things are related. Meaning the thing which is specified in Beferus Pesukim, namely eating, is very closely associated with Hana. And for that, that's why on the one hand we could easily have understood it as being part of Pashas Halashon of the Pesuk, right, that it's just one example of anah, and have considered the possibility of maybe including it in the minyan and mitzvos, but it's also the reason you wouldn't do so, because it's just an extension of the original iser of achil. I think that's a possibility. Again, I'm still bothered by this question that the Ram doesn't seem to bother him. He says, that if it were true, it has to be true for chametz and but you basar b'chalav, you have two psukim, you can assign one of them to hanah, but you have no other psukim for chametz. So I think this perhaps is an answer, which is that because of the fact that it's closely related to achila, that would make it something which falls within the world of pashas pasuk. But because that's the case, it also is not something which is a separate law. In other words, its weakness is a strength, to use a Rosenzweigian formulation, or its strength is a weakness, either one. Alright, so we'll stop here. In a minute, we'll take up the question that comes next, which is the question of Malkus Ben Ah, which sheds light on these issues and also starts us getting the ball rolling in the question, which is we touch upon only without mentioning it specifically, the nature of the Isser as if it does apply to both Hana and Achila. And that we'll see some further. In the Brahman himself, we have a further piece of the puzzle, which will, I think, illuminate much. Okay, so Mitzvah will take that up next, and I'll get you guys out of the Maror Makomos. The piece of puzzle is not actually in this section; it's in the next section. But I'll give you those Makomos. Okay. Okay. So I apologize for going over my.